As I look back on all of my days, so many times in so many ways, I have been blessed, and all I can say is God is still good. Sometimes the night brings sorrow and pain, sometimes the tears fall like the rain, but through it all, He's never changed. God is still good. God is still good when the waves roll high. God is still good all through the night. When I've done all I can and don't understand, God is still good. Clouds of doubt may darken the way, but showers of blessing may come any day. He'll bring me through, and I'll stand and say, God is still good. There have been times that I've let Him down, made my mistakes, but still I have found. I may stumble and fall, but through it all, God is still good. Mercy still flows from the palm of His hand. He will give grace and help me to stand. And although He knows how unworthy I am, God is still good. God is still good when the waves roll high. God is still good all through the night. When I've done all I can and don't understand, God is still good. Clouds of doubt may darken the way, but showers of blessing may come any day. He'll bring me through, and I'll stand and say, God is still good. He'll bring me through, and I'll stand and say, God is still good.
Let's go over to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew the 7th chapter, and I'm going to keep going where Brother Raph was this morning. Matthew and chapter 7. God is still good. Even when we don't understand, God is still good. You think, Lord, why am I going this way? Lord, why am I facing this? Why am I doing this? Why? God is still good. He sees the beginning and the end. He sees everything in between. Even though we don't see it, God is still good, and He orders our steps, and He brings us through, a loving God, and He brings us through some things for our good and His glory. And we, Lord, how does this work? Just like that tapestry, we only see one side with all the knots and strings running everywhere and everything else. Flip it over and have a look. Now I see what God's doing. And we don't understand that right now. And we may not get much light on it till we get to the other side. But God is still good. Don't let the devil take away that thing. God shortchanged you. God has done something. God is against you, and etc., etc., etc. We'll be in the last verses of Matthew chapter 7 this morning. Jesus, by the time we get to this point, if you've got a red letter Bible, you'll find that Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, there is a lot of red. It's commonly called the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus you can't copy this sermon. Jesus takes that time. He starts off and seeing the multitudes. He went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them. So Jesus through chapters 5, 6 and into 7, he's talking to the multitude. He's talking about the spiritual nature of the coming kingdom and just what it's about, what's going to be happening with it. He talks about the true character of real religion, of practical religion, of how to live, of how to demonstrate, how to live those things out. And he closes these three chapters, this sermon, he closes with a story here of two men from verses 24 through to the end of the chapter, verse 29. He speaks of false prophets in verse 15, but as he finishes, he talks about false professors. He talks of false teachers. And then he finishes with false hearers. The people listen to, imagine sitting and listening to Jesus teach. We see at the end, and it came to pass, verse 28, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. Wow. I've never heard anything like that before. But not just that, verse 29, for he taught them as one having authority. They were astonished, and then also concerning his authority, they listened. We've never heard anything like that man spoke. We've never heard anybody talk like that man talked. All our teaching that we've heard has not been like that man. They would have listened. The Jews would have listened to the scribes and the Pharisees. They would have listened to them, their teachers. But Jesus had something. What Jesus had to say and how he said it was very different than what they were used to hearing. But as Jesus spoke to them, Jesus knew their hearts and he perceived that they were satisfied with hearing. They were quite happy to hear, but not everybody did. He knew in their heart, so he's going to tell them this parable about two builders. He couldn't help but remind his listeners that if you've been listening to me and the words that I have to say, you need to hear them and do them. You need to be doing something with them, with what I've said. Now, in the context, we're going to see two men building, it says in verse 24 and verse 26, built his house. So here's two builders and they're building their own house. And in like manner, each of us are building the house of our own life. We too are in a building project. And it does matter how we build. We just don't go slap happy. We're gonna read down through these. Brother Raph, you're gonna be impressed. I've got 2 points today. Unbelievable, he says. Unbelievable. I like seven. Why do you like seven? It's God's number. And I'll break it down into little bite-sized pieces so you can get it. So we're gonna have two chunks, two big bites of these verses here. But each of us are building our own life. You know, life is made up of two parts, character and service. Character is what we are, what we is, and service is what we do. And your life will be measured by what you are and by what you do. And a lot of the time, what we do is a reflection of what we are. Now, Paul's writing to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 15. He says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. That's his character. That's what he is. He is what he is because of the grace of God and what God had done in him. And he said, and his grace was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. There's his service. That's what he did with his life. Each of us is the same. What we are and what we do is a measure of our lives. So let's read down through here. Therefore, so Jesus is finishing it off. Therefore means, in light of what I've just said, so you've spent three chapters. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, so in light of all that's been said, and it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Two things here this morning. Firstly, what the builders had in common. Two builders, but they did have some things in common. Firstly, what did they have in common? They both heard Christ's sayings. They listened. They heard the words Jesus is talking there. Therefore, in light of what I've just said, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, so I've been speaking, I've been teaching, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, so I'm going to give you two builders here. They both heard Christ's sayings. Now, here they are, they're sitting and they're listening to Christ teach. You're not going to find a better preacher, you're not going to find a better teacher than you can sit at Jesus' feet and listen to the ministry of the word as he gives it, as the Son of God gives it. You're not going to find a better. Amen. So here they are, they're sitting at Jesus' feet. He's not talking about some pagan, some heathen in darkest Africa or some remote dark place of the world. He's not talking about anybody like that. He's not talking about Jews that have rejected him and put him aside and aren't even there. He's not talking about those. He's not talking about the infidel that despises anything religious. He's not talking about the profane man that anything religious he just puts aside. He's not talking about any of that. He's talking to people that are sitting under his ministry and listening. This is who he's addressing. Both builders, the wise and the foolish. The house that's built on the rock, the house that's built on the sand. The builders are all listening. They're all listening to Jesus as he's talking. He's speaking to two men that are sitting under the sound of his ministry. He's doing that. Both are equally hearers. The illustration that he gives, the parable, they're listening to what he has said. And it is of the utmost importance that we listen to what the Word of God has to say for us. We need to listen. And here's these men, they're listening. We're commanded to hear. In Revelation chapter 2 and 3, seven times there, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. We're supposed to be listening as the Word of God comes to us. We're supposed to be listening to it as to what it is. And these days, churches are in need of men, Spirit-filled men that spend time with God, that spend time in the book and deliver what God's given them. We need to be listening for what God has to say to us. Secondly, after hearing what he'd said, they both saw the necessity of building a house. They saw that need. It's a necessity. I must build. In light of all that he said, I must build a house. So the word of God wasn't totally lost on them. Oh, sometimes you can see, you'll be amazed what you can see when you stand up here. And sometimes you're thinking, oh, wow, this ain't going past the pulpit. You know, sometimes you'll be amazed with the expressions on people's faces like right about now. Some people are laughing, some people are laughing, but the belly ain't shaking, and some people didn't even get it. Sometimes you think they're not even listening. The boss thinks that when he's talking to his men, he thinks, he ain't listening. Got no idea. Not listening. Parents think that of their kids. You know, it's everywhere, they think. But here's two men sitting under Jesus' ministry. They both listened, and they both saw the need. They both realized what they were. Neither of them were. Neither of them neglected religious ideology or religious teaching. They realized, oh, he's got something good to say. They never did neglect it. They listened with enough attention to understand what Jesus was saying. Sometimes we'll hear things and we're thinking, what was he talking about? Have you got any idea what he's talking about? No, neither do I. Smile and nod your head. And sometimes we just don't know. But they understood what Jesus was saying and they realized there was a need. I must build a house. They understood what he was saying. They were influenced by what he spoke about. It produced within them a desire to want to go and build a house. To go and build. Now remember, we're talking about the house of our own life. They saw the need, I must build. They saw the need by building a house. I must build a house. It is for my future benefit that I build a house now. They knew bad weather would come. It's wise and prudent that I build a house that I can get through some of the storms and some of the things that will come. I'm needing a place of refuge. I'm needing something to build, to be in. In verses 24 and verses 26, they actually did build a house. They actually built his house. They built it. They built it. Many propose to build. They propose, they resolve, and that's as far as it goes. They never build. Talk, and they never build. Some people start building. And then they were, this is hard. This is worse than I thought. And they stop. They never finish. It's always that ongoing project. Yeah, I'll get to it. I'll finish. I will. I mean it. But they actually both, Jesus said, he said, built his house. The wise built his house. The foolish man, he built his house. They finished. There's nothing in there to say they had a furlough. They had long service leave. They continually worked and built until their house was finished. They saw the need. They actually finished doing it. They picked out a site. They picked out the plans. They had the site. They had the plans. They had the direction. They knew what they wanted. They knew the materials. They actually built a house. They both took time. They both took time to build the house. Verses 25 and 27, what else did they have in common? Both houses were exposed to a storm. We're just talking about what did the builders have in common? They both heard Christ's sayings. They both saw the necessity of building a house. They actually did build a house and they finished it. And both houses were exposed to storms. Do you know storms come to all men? Those opening verses of James chapter 1 where Sunday school was talks about some common things. Trials are common. Temptation is common to all men. And it's how we face them. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is what? Common. Oh, this has never happened to anyone. I'm the only one in the world this has ever happened to. Oh, woe is me. No, no, no. You're not the only one. There is at least somebody else in this world that has been through it, or going through it, or will go through it. It doesn't stop and finish with you. But both houses faced a storm. Now notice about these storms. Both storms are the same. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew. Where do storms come from? They come from above, that's the rain. They come from beneath, that's the flood. And they come from the side, that's the wind. And wind can attack from any side. Now notice this, let's go a step further. Let me do a little bit of expressive reading and see if you can pick up what I'm saying. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house. Verses 25, 27 says the same thing. The and. Have you ever noticed that sometimes storms come from above, underneath, and all around at the same time? That word and connects that one phrase with what has just gone before. So he's built his house and. Sometimes the storms come thick and fast from everywhere and you're trying to figure out which way is up, which way is down, what do I do? Well, you need to take shelter in a house. You just get in that house. You need to have a house that you can go into. The lives of all of us will be tried. Oh, no. I'm going to miss out. No, you will not miss out. If you're not going through a trial right now, if you're not going through a storm right now, either you've just come out of one or you're heading into one. So if you're saying, I haven't just come out of one and I'm not in one now, guess where you're headed. There's a storm coming up. And you're going to need to take refuge. You're going to need to have somewhere that's going to withstand a storm. Will the house of your life stand the storm? The storm will come. You won't miss out. And I would say, lastly, what else do we see in common with both of these? The last thing I see, I don't read it in here, but allow me to have a sanctified imagination. Verses 24, 25. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended and the floods came. Now, tell me, when you build a house, it's your house, what do you do with it? It's not a deep question. What do you do with it? You live in it. So I think in between verses 24 and 25, he's built a house and the rain descended, the floods came, etc. I reckon he's living in that house that he's just built. Verses 26, 27, we have the same thing. The foolish man built his house upon the sand and the rain descended, the floods came, etc. I believe both these men have finished the house, they've built the house, and they've taken up residence in their house when the storm hit. What do these men have in common? Well, I think also that they, the builders, these both these men, are resting in the security that they're of the house which they have built. I believe they've taken up residence in their house that they have built, believing it's safe to dwell in, believing it will take care of them, believing that it will get them through the storm when the storm comes. They're confident in what they've built. They're trusting the structure. If you're not confident of what you've built, you let somebody else live in it. I would say that these men are living in their own residence themselves. They have confidence, they have trust, they have hope in what they've built. And every person, every one of us, trusts something. We're living life trusting something. You've built a life and you're trusting something. As you reside in that belief, as you reside in what you've built of your life, you're trusting in something. Five things I saw there that these two men had in common. So just have a guess at the second point. If the first point is what they had in common, what do you reckon the second point is going to be? In what ways were they different? So let's have a look at what ways they were different. People would say, but aren't both builders the same? They both built a house. And I'll say no, they're not the same. They're not the same. Are they builders? Yes. Are they the same caliber builder? No. There are three ways of learning. You can learn by repetition, over and over and over and over again. There is comparison, finding out what is similar. And the other way of learning is finding out what is different, the contrasts. We're going to look at the contrasts now of what was the difference between these two builders. The first thing we see is their character. In verse 24, tells us one was wise and the other one foolish. So he was a fool? No, he was a foolish man. If he was a fool, he's gone too far. But he was a foolish man. He was acting like a fool. He could change. But he was foolish. The wise man and the foolish man. Wisdom consists, someone who's wise, they're going to take the highest ideal. They're going to do the best they can to reach it, and they're not going to stop until they get there. A wise man will pick it out, go after it, and set his goal, and will just keep going. Wise men, as this man, he valued what he was building. And he built it in a particular way. Wise men consider the value of their soul. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? We each have a soul, only one. And when this life is finished, it will exist somewhere. Exist? It will either have eternal life or eternal death. Every one of us has a soul, and now this is a scary part. Our soul is kept in an earthen vessel that can be either very resilient. Some people have the most horrific accidents and survive. Other people get one germ and they die. It just seems the human body is a paradox, because it can suffer so much and live, or just be susceptible to one little microscopic size thing, and it sets off a chain of events in their body and their life is finished. Someone wise is going to consider the value of their soul. They'll want to, secondly, with that, they're going to want to make sure that it's secure. If you've got something valuable, something precious, you're going to put it somewhere secure. And yet right now it's in this earthen body, it's in this flesh, It doesn't mean to say that it's always going to live here. It will go somewhere. See, wise people think about and think, I need to do something about my soul. Before this wise man built, I think he gave thought to it. I don't think he just rushed in. Well, is it fools rush in where angels dare to tread? That's not a scripture verse. Don't go looking for it. I don't think the wise man, I don't think he rushed in. I think he planned it. He listened. I do fear that the foolish man, I do believe he rushed in. The foolish man, he was impressed by what he heard. Yeah, I need to, let's build. Sounds like Genesis chapter 9, doesn't it? Let's build a tower. Build it up to heaven. And yet here's this man. I think he rushed in. He was industrious. I don't believe he was lazy at all. He was industrious. He worked hard. He was faithful. He worked all the way through till his house was finished. But as he built, I think he was more, I think his goal was more, let's get something done. Some people are really keen to show what they can do quickly, but it just doesn't last. And here's this foolish man, and I can whip this up real quick. I can do that. I can get it done. Do you know I'll leave it. What was the difference? Firstly, their character. Secondly, their practice. What was the practice? What made them so different? Verse 24, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. Verse 26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not. The practice, one was a doer, one was a hearing doer, the other one was a deaf doer. He was a hearer only. There are three sorts of people in this world. There's the wise, he knows, and he does what he knows. There's the fool. He knows, but he's chosen not to. He'll do what he wants to do. And then Proverbs says the other sort of man is the simple. He doesn't know. He needs to be taught. He needs to be instructed. There are some things it's good for us to be simple concerning, like evil. There are some things we don't need to know about. There are some things we need to know about, and it's good for us to get some safe instruction. Could you please teach me this so I know? I don't want to be a simpleton concerning this subject or concerning this practice or concerning, I want to know. These two men were very different. One heard and did, the other heard and didn't do. But Brother Neil, he did build, he didn't build it as he ought to have built it. One heard and says, I go. Just like the son, the father with the son, I go, sir. And he goes and builds. He goes and does the work. He says, I go not. Then he realized, I need to do it. I need to do it Dad's way. And he goes and he does that. They were different in their practice. The foolish man had listened. He'd listened to Jesus. And he listened, and he goes out all excited, wanting to produce something, and he produces a house. In what way were they different? The biggest difference is what each of them built upon, the foundation. That's the biggest difference between both men. Both buildings, building as in the building of, the erection of, and the build of the actual house. The biggest difference between both. And the foundation is unseen. There is a problem when you can see the foundation. There is something wrong. You might just see, I'm not talking about just a little bit right at the top. But if you can see all the way down to the bottom of the foundations, there's something wrong. The foundations. One built his house upon the rock, one built his house upon the sand. Do you know, nothing is said about how ugly the foolish man's house was. Oh, he's a foolish man. That's got to be the ugliest house. Nothing is said that it was an ugly house. He probably did a really good job building. He probably had really good features of his house. But what he missed out on was the foundation. He got the foundation wrong of his house, and it made all the... It doesn't matter what features you've got. Oh, you can have gold doorknobs if you want. Whatever you want. Pearl doorknobs. You can have however you want. But does that really matter if you've skimped on the foundation and you've got the wrong foundation upon which everything else is built upon? If I said to you, what sort of house would you build? One time I can tell on Emma, she's not here. Hey, Em. She's not feeling well. One time we played Family Feud. And the question was something like, if you could build your dream home, wasn't it? Yeah, if you could build your dream home, what would you put in it? And she says, carpet. Emma, it's your dream home. You can think bigger than carpet. Carpet? Okay. And we have a look. You missed. Sorry, Em. Sorry, I tried to help. Sorry, darling. If you could build a dream home, what would be the features? Would it be cathedral ceiling? surely it's going to be air conditioned. We'll put that with carpet. What would you put in it? You've got to build the right... If you're going to build your dream home, it had better be on the right foundation. If I said to you, what sort of life would you like to build? If you don't build it on the right foundation, you've wasted your life. There's two foundations given, the rock and the sand. You've got to build your life on the right foundation. If not, it's not going to stand when the storms come. The foundation makes all the difference. All the trim, all the costly items that you would put into a house means nothing. How elaborate it looks, at the facade, even the neighborhood. You know, they say the best, you know, location, location, location. It's all about where you build. Buy the worst house in the best street. It's all about location. If you don't have the right foundation, your location does not matter. Years ago, Linda and I were, you know, looking at buying property, and we're saving and saving, trying to find somewhere. And the boss that I worked for had a property up somewhere, just, I forget the name of the suburb, west of, between the highway and Bly Bly. You turn off the highway, head towards Bly Bly, and there's a little suburb up in there. It's 2 acres in bush. I thought, oh, yes. Yeah, oh, yes, I could do this. The problem was their foundations were terrible. And he warned me before I went. They had an in-ground swimming pool. I'm trying to see someone who's wearing green. Yeah, Marie's wearing green. It was full of green. It had a little bit of green water in it, but it had cracks. And you walk through the house, and there was cracks. So the whole foundation, no, pass. Pass. You build a house, it's the foundation. Now there's two. Let's have a look at two foundations. Let's go over to 1 Peter chapter 2 and 1 Corinthians chapter 3. First Peter chapter 2 and 1 Corinthians chapter 3, then we're going to come back to Matthew. An error in the foundation will not be made up with the sort of windows, door, the facade. It doesn't matter. What matters, the foundation is important. One foundation that Matthew 7 talked about was the rock, and Jesus Christ is that rock. First Peter chapter 2, verse 6, wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. He that believeth on him shall not be confounded. But unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offence, even to them that stumble, at the word being disobedient, whereunto they were appointed, also appointed. Jesus Christ is the stone upon which to build, 1 Corinthians 3. He is elect. He is precious. The rest of the building, you're not going to find a better stone to build your life upon, a better foundation to build your life upon than Jesus Christ. That's the best stone. Are there other foundations? There are. Do they last? No. Well, a little sneak peek. Whatever's built upon another foundation will fall. But not if something's genuinely built on Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. So it's good for us to know, Lord, how do you want me to build my life? Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God given, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is who?
Jesus Christ.
There is no other foundation which can be laid. If you want a foundation that's going to stand the tests of time, that's going to stand the storms, whether the rain comes down, whether the floods come up, whether the wind blows from side to side, you're going to need a foundation. I mentioned before about, you know, when Cyclone Marsha went over Rockhampton 2015, When it first went over, the wind blew in one direction. The eye passed over the house, and then it blew in. Then the wind blew in the opposite direction. So the wind can come from any direction, but the storms will come, and you need a foundation upon which you've built your life. It talks about Jesus Christ being that one. He is the foundation. He's chosen of God. Let's go back to Matthew 7. A rock is something that just needs to, is something that becomes a foundation upon which to build. And the doing hearer, he's built his life upon a stable foundation. The most expensive, maybe I shouldn't say the most expensive part. The one of the most expensive, time-consuming, labor-intensive parts of building is a foundation. Am I right, Brother John? You got to get the foundation right. Take the time to get the right foundation to build everything else upon, or else it is going to go bang. We need to be building our life upon those things. If the foundation will stand the storm, if everything else is built correctly, it too will stand the storm. It also, secondly, Matthew 7 talks about the sand. The sand can easily represent, firstly, a profession. Go back up to verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. This is the will of him that sent me, that ye believe. There's that belief. People think it's doing. No, it's believing. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Some people say, oh, yes, yes, I'm a Christian. They have a mental assent. They have it in their head what a Christian is, what a Christian believes. They have it in their head, but it's never moved from their head, from a head knowledge to a heart knowledge. They know in their head Jesus died. He died for the world, but they don't have it in their heart. He died for me. And they say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied? Lord, we've taught in your name. Lord, we've ministered. We've done these wonderful works, many wonderful works. Depart from me. I never knew you. Great was the fall of it. See, the right foundation gets us through this life. But there is going to come a time when our lives will be tested and to be seen. What have we built our lives upon? And needs to be our lives, if we're going to be sure of heaven. It said there, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. They think they're going to get into heaven because they use the Lord's name. They've had the Lord's baptism, the Lord's supper. They're a member of his church somewhere. They're doing these things. They've got all these things in place. It's not just a profession. It's more than a profession. It's not just that. They think, well, look, I've ministered. I've done these things. That's just sand. Mm-hmm. Yeah, have you heard the phrase, yeah, they moved the goalposts? You heard that phrase? Give me a nod or a shake. Don't you hate it when you think you know, this is what's needed, and then the boss comes and moves the goalposts? What do you mean by move the goalposts? Well, instead of having the goalposts this wide and the bar this high, the goalposts are now this wide and the crossbars up here, and it's over in the corner. They just move it all around. So you never get quite settled. They move the goalposts. Religion will never let you get quite there. Mm-hmm. You know, the gospel says it's done. Religion says do. Just keep kicking goals. You'll get there. No, you won't. You won't get there. There's no chance. You'll never get there. They move the goalposts. Some will think it's my righteousness. Look how I've lived. Look at my life. It's not enough. Wrong foundation. Your foundation's all about you and what you've done. You've got to build on another foundation. You need your salvation needs to be based on another foundation. Your life needs to be built on another foundation. It's Jesus Christ who it is. It's not in what we're doing. What else did they differ in? Well, they differed in their character. They differed in their character. They differed in their practice. They differed in their foundation. They differed in the final result. The wise man's house stood against it. It was unmovable. It held firm. Had a great foundation. Held firm. Good foundation. Just grip that rock. Just hold on. Build upon. Yeah. Brother Neil, that house didn't have any chip paint or anything? I'm not saying that. but that house didn't collapse. It may have been weather beaten. The paint may have peeled off. It may have copped the blast, but it still stood. The foolish man. No. Here's a storm. The storm's coming. He bends down the hatches. He closes it up. And that water, those floods came. It's raining from the top. Those floods came. Starts washing away that foundation, testing the foundation. And the wind comes. And great was the fall of it. Normally when something falls, there is a noise associated with it, unless it's a feather. But you, something else falls, you hear that bang, and you got to look, what is it? When the house fell, it was a great fall. It doesn't say the house was a great house. It never says it was a great building. But it does say that its fall was great. It left a mark. It was seen. And what's needed is a house built upon Jesus Christ. What are you building your life on? There's no other foundation. None other foundation, we're told, than Jesus Christ. If you're built, if your life is built upon Jesus Christ, your life will withstand the storms of this life. If your life is built upon Jesus Christ, you will enter heaven with the right foundation. Go down the beach, water comes in, and you stand in that water. As a kid, you'd always, you stand in that water, you see how long you could stand. It's not deep water, it's right, it just, it's right at the end as the water's coming up. And you see how long you can stand there, because as the water goes back out, it takes a little bit more of the sand. It'll wash around here, and then as it comes back through, takes some more out. And then eventually you fall over. And you're sort of like this kid, you're trying to think, I'm going to beat you, and how's mine? And you even, you're trying to grip, that water will just keep washing it away. Imagine going through life and the foundation of your life is being taken away and there's nothing you can do. But look what I've built. It's all about the foundation. What have you built your life on? Will it stand this test? Will it stand the storm? I think we'll sing, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness," 272. Is that your testimony? Is your testimony, "My hope is built on nothing, nothing less"? But now, I'm educated, I've got some money in the bank, I've got good morals, I've got these things. Do you have Jesus at the base? Is everything else built upon the foundation rock of Jesus Christ? That's the only question. Nothing else. My hope is built upon nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Brother Johnny, why don't you come lead that song, please? We'll pray. Please, if your life is not built upon Jesus Christ, ask somebody how to get it. Find out where to get it. But a life needs to be built on Jesus Christ. My Lord, I ask that you'd please speak to hearts. I pray, Lord, that if anybody's built upon anything else, if their hope, if their assurance, if their confidence, their security is in anything else, I pray that you might erode that, Lord, they would see to build a life on Jesus Christ. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.